Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Habakkuk. I pronounce it Habakkuk. I had a teacher in college that pronounced it Habakkuk. I didn't agree with him then, I still don't. We're going to look at the first 10 verses for our reading, and then we're going to look at all of this book as we bring a message tonight on how to survive a storm. Verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me. And there are they that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack. Judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold you among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. The horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far, and they shall fly as the eagle that hasteneth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall ride every stronghold, or they shall heap dust and take it. How to survive a storm. I see that in the first word of the second word of the first verse, the word burden. Habakkuk was facing a very difficult situation. He was experiencing a type of storm in his life. I say to you tonight, as we so wonderfully heard this morning, our beloved America is in a storm. It's in a storm politically. It's in a storm religiously. It's in a storm morally. By way of introduction, I want to point out about three things and notice about Habakkuk and how he felt about what was going on around him. He was troubled by the sin that surrounded him. Note the word iniquity in verse 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity? The word means missing the mark. Our government is missing the mark. Our educational system is missing the mark. It's sad to say many of our churches are missing the mark. In verse 4, notice what he says. The wicked doth compass about the righteous. There's so many more that are unrighteous than there are that are righteous. You know and I know that immorality runs like a sewer in our communities today. So he was troubled by the sin that surrounded him. As a believer, you ought to be troubled by the sin that's surrounding us, that's going on in our nation. Or you might not be able to do anything about it, but it ought to trouble you in your spirit and bring you to your knees and cause you to pray more earnestly for our nation. But then notice also in verses 2 and 3 how that he was terrified by the strife that stirred him. Note the word violence, strife, contention. We have violence in our streets, strife in our government, contention in our homes. He was terrified by the strife that stirred him. Then we see in verse 4 how that he was tired of the slackness that soured him. Note the law. He said, the law is slack. In other words, the law is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We know they've been hindered greatly by a government that has very little respect for law and order today. Then he said, judgment doth never go forth. Wrong judgment proceedeth. We're living in a country of crooked lawyers, corrupt judges that are in our judicial system, and all these things compiled together is what brought the burden to the heart of Habakkuk. And it should be a burden to our heart as well, because we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. I want you to notice in chapter 1, we find Habakkuk is looking at the storm and it brings confusion. In chapter 2, we'll see him looking through the storm that brings confidence. And then in chapter 3, he's looking beyond the storm and it brings comfort. Notice first of all how he's looking at the storm and it brings confusion. Look at verse 2. Note the prophet's appeal to God here. He's talking to God out of a broken, out of a burdened heart. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, that will not save. And then he asks a question in verse 3. Why do you show me iniquity? These are penetrating questions. How many times in the last 3 years have you asked someone, or even maybe yourself, how much longer are we going to have to deal with this COVID? How much longer are we going to have to deal with lockdown and mask wearing and all that's going on in our society? How long is it going to be, Lord? When are you going to answer the pleas of our heart? Why are you so much going on in our nation today that no one seemingly has the answer to, cannot seemingly do anything about it? So he's looking at the storm. When you look at a storm, you'll be like the prophet. He was confused about a lot of things. And as you look at a storm, you're going to be confused as well. You'll be asking questions that have no answers. You'll be asking questions that will just break your heart and burden your soul with no answer coming. But note the perplexing answer in verse 5 down through verse 10. Now I'll not reread those verses. But he tells them that they would be taken captive. This is how God answers Habakkuk. They'll be taken captive by the ruthless, godless Babylonians. You know, when you think things can get no worse, the worse seems to happen. One fellow said, I saw a light at the end of the tunnel, found out it was a train coming from the other side. Sometimes things get worse before they ever begin to get better. Brother Steve mentioned that on this morning, and it is true that we are in for some rough days ahead of us, but God is still God, and He's still on our side. He hasn't changed His mind about taking care of His children. He'll always do that in the midst of the severest of storms. But then we notice in chapter 2, turn there for a moment. Chapter 1 is looking at the storm, and it brings confusion. And now he's looking through the storm, and it brings confidence. Look at verse 1. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and I shall answer when I am reproved. He's in his watchtower. Watchtowers is a very common thing in the nation of Israel. The Bedouins use them quite often. They're also used by the military. You see, in the watchtower, he said, I will get up on my watch up on the tower and watch. He's in a position where he can see things more clearly now. You see, when you're going through a storm, you need to put things in perspective. Perspective is everything when you're going through a storm. How you look at the situation. Not how it is, but how you consider it to be. When I think about perspective, I think about Joseph. Joseph was a son that was loved by his father, but hated by his brothers. I cannot imagine siblings hating one of their own as Joseph's brothers did him. They were jealous because of a coat that his father had made for him. A coat of many colors. A coat that represented authority and royalty that would one day prove to belong to Joseph. But it bothered his brothers. And when Jacob sent Joseph to see how his brothers were getting along, take them something to eat, instead of receiving him joyfully, they concocted a plan to sell him. They dug a pit. They left him in the pit. Their first intention was that a wild animal would devour him. But Judah, his Jewishness came out. He said, why kill him? Let's sell him. They're always looking to make a profit. And so they sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him to a man by the name of Potiphar. He became the head of Potiphar's house. And while there overseeing everything that was going on in Potiphar's house, Potiphar had a wife that had thoughts in her mind that no wife should have toward another man. But she wanted to seduce Joseph. She made all kinds of sexual advances toward him. And Joseph resisted on every occasion. And then one day, he had to run. He had to flee from the house. She grabbed his coat. He left his coat. Fellas, listen, if you ever find yourself in a situation like that, it's better to leave your coat than to lose your character. Joseph left his coat. And on the basis of that coat, that circumstantial evidence, she falsely accused him of seducing her, which something that never happened. But yet, he spent 13 years in prison as a result of it. Now, I'm sure Joseph wasn't He certainly did not understand what God was doing. But he was still in the will of God. He was where God was placing him. Because we're talking about perspective. Putting everything in proper perspective. Joseph, while he was in prison, interpreted some dreams and became known as one that could interpret dreams. And when the king had a dream that he could not interpret, Joseph was brought to interpret the dream, and he did. And as a result of it, he became second in command, the prime minister down in Egypt. So he goes from the pit to Potiphar's house, to the prison, to the palace as a prime minister. God leading every step of the way. Why was God doing this? Because God knew that a famine was coming in Canaan. Egypt would be the only place they would have food supply. And now God has got his man in Egypt over all the food supply. And he was able to take care and sustain the people of God. So when you're going through a storm, perspective is everything. When you're in the will of God, you don't have to back up or shut up. Just keep on moving forward for the glory of God. But then notice something in verse 3 of chapter 2. The last part of the verse, he says, though it tarry, well, I must read the verse. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, when at the end shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. So when you're going through a storm, perspective is important. And then patience is very important. Something most of us lack. Sometimes God brings trials in our life to teach us patience. When I think of Job, I think of Job, and you know the story of Job. Job says, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Let me say something to you about waiting. When you're waiting on God, it's never a waste of time. When you're waiting on God, and sometimes all you can do when things aren't going well in your life, whether it be a terminal illness, a financial reversal, the loss of a job, a marriage breakup, rebellious child, whatever it may be, sometimes the best you can do is just wait. Just wait. We try to take matters into our own hands because we're proud of our abilities to solve our own problems. And usually when we do, we make a bigger mess of things than what they already are. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Then look in verse 3 again. He says, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. There's a promise from God. When you wait, God gives a promise. So when you're looking through the storm, as your confidence builds, everything is put in the proper perspective. You're waiting patiently on God, and then God gives you a promise during the midst of the storm that increases your confidence. When I think about promise, I think about Joshua. Joshua. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt across the Jordan River, the first obstacle they faced when they came into the land of Canaan was a wall around Jericho. God said to Joshua, he gave him a plan and he made him a promise. The plan was this. He said, Joshua, you have the people march around that wall one time every day for 6 days. They did that. Then on the seventh day, he said, you have to march around 6 more times. They did that. Marched around that wall 13 times. God said, when the trumpet sounds and the people shout, the wall will fall down flat. So he gave him a plan and he gave him a promise. When you're going through a storm, folk, God has given you a plan, or rather a promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'd rather be in the storm with the Lord than to be in a place that is having no problems with the devil. Joshua. But then look at verse 4. Look at the last part of that verse. We think of perspective and patience and promise when you're looking through the storm, and it brings confidence. When I think of participation, I think of Jesus. Jesus. The latter part of verse 4 says, the just shall live by faith. The faithfulness of our Lord. Always there in the time of need. Never late, never in a hurry. Right always, always right on time. Look at those words. This is the first time that you find this statement in the Bible. The just shall live by faith. It's found 3 other times in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, the just shall live by faith. In Romans 1, 17, the emphasis is on just, the justified. Galatians 3, 11, the emphasis is on live, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, 38, the emphasis is on faith. The just shall live by faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we're in participation with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is always faithful. Then look at verse 20 of chapter 2. One other thing I point out to you about looking through the storm and let it build your confidence. And that's perception, how you really look at a matter. Verse 20 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. He hasn't vacated His authority. He hasn't given up on us. Many give up on Him, but He never gives up on us. Notice what it said, let all the earth keep silence before Him. You know, things always look better from heaven's view. When you read the Revelation, sometimes you'll get the impression that the devil turned the tables on the Lord. But that just ain't so. And that is good language, a good English in the South. No, the devil never turned the tables on our Lord. He's still in control. He is in His holy temple. So we find Habakkuk as he begins looking at the storm. He's confused. How long, Lord? Why is all this happening? And then he's looking through the storm and he gains confidence. But now, look in chapter 3. He begins looking beyond the storm, and it brings comfort. In verse 1, note the prophet's prayer here. He says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. You were like this, Brother Junior, Brother Ralph. Sugar Knoth is a distinctive of music. It's sung in a spirit of victory. You also have in verse 3, Selah, which is a like a rest in musical notes. So his prayer, you notice his prayer, it expresses three great concerns. First of all, he says, I have heard thy speech. He's talking about God's word. You see, hearing the word of God energized his faith. People often say, you know, I just wish I had more faith. Stay in church. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This crowd running around, never go to church, and thinks it's all right, sit at home and watch the Do-Right Quartet sing or something. Then they wonder why they don't have any faith. They don't believe, don't look at the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. But then notice, it had to do with God's work. He says, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known in wrath. Remember mercy. God, as you judge this nation, be merciful. He's praying for mercy. Those that show mercy will receive mercy. And he's praying for mercy. Revive thy work. The word revive here means to just keep going. Encourage. Habakkuk had argued with God about his work because he thought God was making a mistake. But then he was talking, it also had to do with God's wrath. Remember mercy. That nation, the nation of Israel during this time, as was so often as you find in the Old Testament, our nation as well, in America, deserves the wrath of God. But the prophet prayed for mercy. That should be our prayer as well. Down verse 3, down through verse 15. I'm not going to read all of those verses. But let me just point out a few things to you. We see the prophet's pondering here. He ponders in these verses the greatness and the glory of God as seen in the history of the Jewish people. If we would just stop and reflect and just let our minds drift back in history, how we could think about how often and regularly, many times, God has blessed us individually and collectively as a nation, even though we did not deserve it. He blessed us anyway. And that's what he's pondering. These verses picture a great conqueror moving from victory to victory. Look at verse 12. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thrash the heathen in anger. Then in verse 16, down through verse 19, he's looking now beyond the storm. And he finds comfort in his heart. And we see the prophet's praise in these verses. He makes three affirmations of faith. Now watch this. When I heard, when God answered, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh upon the people, he will invade them with his troops. The first thing he says, when God's judgment comes, I will rest in God. He faced reality. He couldn't understand what God was doing. I'll be honest with you, folk. I've read through this book. I've already finished all the Old Testament, well into the New Testament this year again. And I find no answer to what's going on in our nation today. I don't know what's taking place. I know God has a plan. And I know that we as God's believers are in on His plan, whether we realize it or not. But Habakkuk faced reality. Even though he couldn't understand what God was doing, he looked within. Verse 16, you notice, he was falling apart. My lips quivered. My belly trembled. I trembled in myself. He looked around, and everything around him was falling apart. Look at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Everything else around him was falling apart. How are you affected? How does the Word of God affect you? When you hear the Word of God, do you fear? Do you experience fear of what may happen? Or do you exercise faith because faith comes by hearing? Or do you, like Habakkuk, just fall apart? Say, my, I'm scared to death. Then he says, notice verse 18, I will rejoice in God. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now he said that after realizing that he may lose all of the fruit of his vineyards. The fig tree may not blossom. The fruit may not be on the vines. The olive tree will fail. Fields will yield no meat. The flocks will be cut off from the fold. No herd in the stalls. All my livelihood could be taken away. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my home. I'm going to lose everything I've worked for. How do you react if that would be a possibility in your life? Well, he said, I will rest in God. I will rejoice in God. He is my strength. He is my song. He is my salvation. Verse 19 we find where he says, I will rely on God. The Lord God is my strength. He'll make my feet like hinds' feet or deer feet. He'll make me to walk upon my high places. And note what he ends, how he ends it. After using musical notes in his commentary, he says, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. God is the chief singer. He said he will make my feet like the feet of a deer, able to run swiftly and surely. When you're walking on the high places, you're living in victory, and you're praising God for the storm that brought you into sweet fellowship with Him. So he looks beyond the storm now. The storm is still raging. It hasn't passed. We sing that song, till the storm passes by. You may be in it a long time before it passes by. His storm hasn't passed by. He's still in the storm. But he's no longer confused. He has great confidence now. And he has perfect peace. He has comfort in his heart. That God will always be there for him. I will rely upon my God. I close with this. When you look at the storm, you'll ask why and remain confused. When you look through the storm, you'll see the faithfulness of God and receive confidence. When you look beyond the storm, you'll see the greatness of God and find comfort in His ability to see you through every situation. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, I thank You for all the storms of life designed, engineered of God to bring us into a closer fellowship, a closer walk, with an attitude to see You in the midst of the storm for who You are, being there on our behalf. Help us not to fear, but to exercise faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.